Welcome to Caffeinated Thoughts Radio, a stimulating look at culture, current events, faith, and politics from a Christian and conservative point of view. We don't just talk on the radio, we blog too. Check us out at caffeinatedthoughts.com. Now grab a cup of coffee and join us. This is Caffeinated Thoughts Radio.
Hey, welcome to Caffeinated Thoughts Radio. Caffeinated Thoughts Radio is brought to you by Myers & Associates, serving the Midwest with industrial maintenance products and services. Call them at 515-795-3676. Myers & Associates, keeping your operations running. Welcome back to Caffeinated Thoughts Radio. This is Shane Vanderhart, and I got Brian Myers in studio. And Brian, you're going to be hitting the road again here.
I am. We got a real busy month coming up, but I'm going to try to get back here for most of the shows. I'm going to miss next week, but I think I can get back here enough to...
Good, because our listenership will just plummet. we'll no longer be the
there's probably people out there right now at 8 o'clock
in the morning on Saturday in the Christian talk market.
There are probably people out there right now crying literal tears knowing that I'm going to be back.
Right, I'm sure.
they started cheering when they heard about me being gone, and then all of a sudden,
they broke their hearts. Tears of joy that you're going to be back because they know, otherwise you're just going to have to put up with me totally unfiltered. Anyway, that's not going to be a good thing. Well, last weekend, have to celebrate, I was 4-0.
Listen, I just want to point out to you that the Clones did not lose last weekend.
Bye weeks have a way of doing that for a team. So
whatever. Anyways, there was no loss.
Yes, no loss. And it's not like, with Iowa, it's not like, oh, wow, you beat North Texas. That was kind of assumed that they were going to do that. But
it's nice being 4-0.
Bethard went 15 for 15, his first 15 passes on the money. I mean, they played, he was on his A game. I can't remember. Over 250 yards. I can't remember the exact yardage.
Well, look, he is the reason you guys won against 21. Iowa State.
Yeah, I'm excited about this young man.
That guy is the reason you beat Iowa State.
He's good. And Kanzeri, just 4 rushing touchdowns, over 100 yards rushing. I mean, we've got a potent offense, and I'm excited about that. The defense still needs some tweaking, but they actually had a pick for a TD. So that was exciting to see. It's like Hayden Fry era once again. It's been a long time since Iowa racked up 62 points and beat somebody that bad.
But now, to be fair, Coach Ferentz has had some good years.
I'm just saying, but that was like that was a Hayden. He's had good years, but there were years where we had a good year, but we won ugly. This was not winning ugly. This was like winning convincingly. Bam.
Good point.
Again, it was, it's North Texas, so I'm not going to, obviously, I'm going to put it in proper perspective, but it was a good showcase for the offense, and it was a good win going into the Big Ten season. And I'm excited to see what they end up doing. Why in the world is Big Ten not changing their name?
Listen, this whole thing over the last few years with this conference realignment has been a complete nightmare, where the Big Ten had 12 teams, the Big 12 had 10 teams. There is something wrong with all this. Okay?
Right.
It's kind of like when Minneapolis Lakers moved to Los Angeles.
Yeah.
And they kept the name the Lakers. Can you imagine a lake in Los Angeles?
No.
What's that look like?
Yeah, dried up.
But this is getting a little ridiculous. Speaking of ridiculous, when are we going to have a Caffeinated Thoughts sports section or sports radio? What do you think?
Ooh, that sounds like an idea that should never come to fruition.
okay. Moving right along.
Yeah, yeah. Beyond the Hawkeyes, my sports acumen is not exactly, where it should be. There's no good way to transition this. We're going to go from talking about Hawkeye football to
abortion. We're going to do some analysis here.
Yeah. And I wanted to, first of all, play a couple clips from Rosaria Butterfield. And I can say her.
Can I
Rosaria Champagne
no,
Butterfield.
No, Rosaria.
Rosaria.
Rosaria Butterfield.
Anyway, I'm sorry, Rosaria, that I keep botching your name.
Hey, by the way, She is going to be on Caffeinated Thoughts Radio in December.
Yes. Excited about this. And I'm playing this because I don't think this is going to necessarily be something we talk about. But she was interviewed by the Gospel Coalition and had made a couple good points about abortion. The first clip was talking about how Psalm 102 changed her view of abortion. So go ahead and play that, Ron. That's clip two.
As a psalm singer, I can trace so many moments when singing a particular psalm, either at home in my own private devotions or in worship, has just offered me a gentle rebuke, or simply showed to me how condemned I am or I was. So, I had been, at the time that the Psalm 102 really affected me, I'd committed my life to Christ. I was worshiping in the Syracuse Reformed Presbyterian Church, but I still was a holdout on the subject of abortion. And I was really swayed by the reality of child abuse. I was also very persuaded by an experience in my own life where a beloved family member had given herself an abortion with the knitting needles that she then gave to me as a present later, and she did that because she was in an abusive relationship and she could not. She was in a dead end street, and I more than anything had committed my life at that point to really wanting women to have options. You know, that was part of what fueled my own feminist world and life view as well. So there we were singing Psalm 102, and there's a line in Psalm 102 that a people yet unborn will bless and magnify the Lord. And I sang those, and all of a sudden I understood that the reason that abortion was a sin was because it denied people the opportunity to bless and magnify God. And in fact, in some ways, that's why murder is a sin. I mean, we all sort of know murder is a sin. We don't want to be murdered and we don't want to be murderers. But ultimately, the reason that it is a sin is because it attacks the image of God in another human being, and it denies them the opportunity to sing praises to the Lord who made them. And after I sang those words, I was just not the same ever since.
Yeah, the line she's talking about, at least in the English Standard Version, reads, it's Psalm 102:18. Let this be recorded for a generation to come so that people yet to be created may praise the Lord. And that was, that I've never thought of Psalm 102 in that light before, but that is so true that God has created us for a purpose. And when you engage in activity, whether you're taking a life, you know, of an adult or taking an unborn child's life, that person, that's a key word here. That unborn child is a person. You're snuffing out the purpose that God had for that child. And ultimately that was that we would praise God. But we're his workmanship, created to do good works. And you never know what that unborn child was going to end up being or doing.
And I think what she said here was really profound, insofar as we all kind of have this maybe, I don't want to use the word vague notion, but maybe not as deep a notion as we ought with regard to what murder is.
Mm-hmm.
Everybody has some sort of understanding of what murder is and why it's wrong. But she's gone to a more fundamental question here, in that she's brought up the fact that unborn child is made in the image of God.
Yes.
And that there's a purpose here, which is in all of creation.
Right.
Which is to glorify God. Right. And we've taken that away. I thought there was a very, very profound insight there.
Yeah, and then she kind of shifts gears in another piece, talking, kind of projecting into the mindset of a pro-choice person. So let's go ahead and play clip two.
I was raised in a pro-choice family, and I was raised to believe that Planned Parenthood was a kind of harbinger of civilization, a community of people that wanted to make sure that one quote-unquote sexual mistake would not cost a woman a lifetime. And that was how I was raised, and so it made sense to me. I was raised to believe that pregnancy is a medical issue and that the medical community must help a woman in an unwanted pregnancy to terminate that pregnancy. And we used words like that. We used terminate, not abort or kill. Those ideals were also connected, at least in my family and for me, with being environmentally sound. I was raised to believe that the world is overpopulated, that we are eating ourselves out of a planet, and that we certainly don't need more children who are unloved and uncared for. And I think what the pro-choice mindset, or someone who basically comes from a worldview that I did, needs is the gospel and an understanding that God gives life and that God never makes mistakes and that adoption is a central paradigm of both Christian life but also Christian theology. In addition to that, I think that what we need to take more seriously is the need to be have a clear reflection of adoption in our lives and in our churches. And I think that if we're going to have the integrity of the witness that says, don't abort your child, we also need to have the integrity of the witness that says, you are not alone and your child is not alone. Whether that means that we are doing a kind of family ministry, or whether that means that we are making adoption a choice that doesn't seem like itself a rebuke to a person, it doesn't matter. We need to have more than words. We need to be the hands and the feet of God in the lives of desperate women.
So that's a good point. Basically, I mean, we need to just not just approach this politically, but also approach it. How can we minister to, how can we care for those who find themselves in a crisis pregnancy situation? That's why I love groups like Birthright and
right.
Ruth Harbor. And others too. Shifting gears here, Rosario mentioned Planned Parenthood. Planned Parenthood, just they're incredibly classy. At the Iowa North Texas game, Carly Fiorina was tailgating, meeting with voters, and apparently some Planned Parenthood protesters, not protesting Planned Parenthood, but protesting in favor of, threw condoms at the gathering, and Carly Fiorina had an interchange with one of the people there. So you play clip six.
Hi, my name's Cindy, and as a Planned Parenthood patient for 40 years, how can you as a woman not support our health care?
Oh, I support your health care. I don't support the butchery of babies, and you ought to go look at those
videos. I did. And I'm a researcher with the criminal justice, and I did.
And Planned Parenthood has never denied this is going on because they can't.
But your statistics are wrong.
Yeah, well, it's also
and I would like you to support women.
Oh, I do support women. I
how?
Am a woman, man. I'm a woman, man.
So you can be a woman and not support them.
I'm here.
I hope not.
I'm here to talk to a bunch of supporters, okay?
Thank you for talking to me.
I understand we may disagree on this, but you need to ask yourself some questions. Why is it that fetuses are aborted alive to butcher their brains? Why? You ought to also ask, you ought to look at some facts. How much money does Planned Parenthood give to Democrat candidates? This is a big political
game. How much money are you getting to do the abortion agenda and use lies on Planned Parenthood to win a nomination?
how much money does Planned Parenthood get to give?
I'll find out, and then we'll come back and talk.
How much money does Planned Parenthood give to Democrat candidates? You go look that up.
How much do
and
abortion
support,
and pro-life people give you?
If you support, not a penny.
Really?
If you support, not a penny. And if you support women's rights, then ask yourself this.
All right, we can probably.
Why is it Democrats won't support taxpayers?
Yeah, so that was a good engagement. And one thing I appreciate about Carly Fiorina is that she's willing to engage in this. Let's just quickly want to attack the Des Moines Register.
I don't know how much time we got left, but yeah. You got to point out what was said right at the beginning, where this protester was saying, why don't you support women's health care?
Because I don't support an organization that butchers babies.
Yes.
Bam! Drop the mic.
Right out of the gate.
This whole and this is attacking the premise of it provides health care. No, it doesn't. It doesn't. In Iowa, I just want to point out some stats. I mean, the Register keeps beating this drum too. The Des Moines Register, they just had an op-ed. The fact is, Planned Parenthood's 13 clinics in Iowa. None of them do any mammograms. Some of them do breast exams, certainly, but there are 91 federally qualified health centers sites in Iowa that provides a whole gamut of health services, not just these few things that Planned Parenthood does. So this idea that if we defund Planned Parenthood, that suddenly, women aren't going to get the health care they need, it's a myth. It's a lie, and I'm sick of it.
As if there's no place else for them to go.
Right.
It's complete nonsense.
Right. And you're going to hear that. We're going to hear that on and on and on in this debate. And it's just simply not true. The funding for women's health care services and some bills that are going to be written up regarding defunding Planned Parenthood, if we could actually get a vote on them, they're not going to cut funding. No funding is going to be reduced. It's ridiculous.
Actually,
anyway,
I think they're going to increase the funding.
Absolutely. So get through the rhetoric. Check out what's true and what's false. Planned Parenthood keeps on putting forth this lie, and we need to see through it. This is Captain 8 Thoughts Radio. We'll be back.
Hi, this is Brian Myers of Myers & Associates. If you're involved in maintenance at a manufacturing plant, you know how costly it can be when a machine goes down. And if the reason that machine went down is because the electronic controls on it failed, it can really be problematic if those electronics are obsolete. Well, not to worry. We represent Providence Industrial Electronics Repair, and they can get your machine up and running in no time. They repair boards, drives, servo motors, light curtains, you name it. So if you need industrial electronics repaired at your plant, or if you have other industrial maintenance needs, give me a call at 515-490-2640. That's Myers & Associates, 515-490-2640. Myers & Associates, keeping your operations running.
Caffeinated Thoughts Radio. Caffeinated Thoughts Radio is brought to you in part by Travis Rizvold of Modern Woodmen of America. Call Travis at 515-883-0029, and he can help you find the life insurance
you need.
So we want to pick back up on our Planned Parenthood analysis, because we have more words. Brian has more words. Brian is mad.
Well, look, full disclosure, we're recording the show on Tuesday this week. It's going to be airing on Saturday, obviously. And today, Cecile Richards of Planned Parenthood will be addressing Congress.
And Brian's going to be a prophet, and he's going to tell us what she's going to say.
Yeah, that's exactly what I'm going to do.
And you can tell us on Saturday whether we're right or not.
And the reason why I'm going to play prophet is because this is so predictable. We already know what she's going to say. She's going to get up there, and she's going to say that these are secretly recorded, heavily edited videos. Fetal tissue donations and abortions are a small part of what they do, and they're really involved in providing much-needed health care for women. Blada, 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 yada, yada, yada. And the thing that really honks me off is that most of the Congress will accept this unmitigated bilge.
Tell me how you really feel.
Well,
don't sugarcoat it.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. So. No, the Congress is not gonna fight this. They're gonna approve that continuing resolution.
Right.
And at the end of the day, they are not gonna defund Planned Parenthood.
Oh, and Senate's already playing Mickey Mouse games, which we'll get into in this third segment a little bit.
And it's like we were talking off the air. The Center for Medical Progress teed this issue up for
right.
the Congress, made a perfect opportunity for them to once and for all to defend this butcher organization known
or
as Planned Parenthood.
Yeah, defund.
I'm sorry, whatever I said. I'm mad, okay?
So right.
I'm not thinking clearly.
Right, no, I understand. Well, anyway, in response to what Cecile Richardson will end up saying, Charlotte Lazier Institute basically wrote an article called Planned Parenthood and the Public Purse, and they came up with 8 reasons why, hey, move forward with the funding. First of all, funding for women's health care services is not reduced by a single penny. We already covered that in segment 1. Actually, it's probably going to go up. The money's going to shift instead from Planned Parenthood to federally qualified health centers. Planned Parenthood, number 2, Planned Parenthood would remain a well-funded nonprofit. They already, before the feds even gave them any taxpayer money, they're already rolling in dough. I mean, being from a former nonprofit, I would love to have the funding that locally that Planned Parenthood of the Heartland has. It's amazing. 3, the average increase in healthcare client load would be 2 women per week. That's it. Which gives you a clue how many women that Planned Parenthood really, how they don't serve.
Unless, of course, they're looking for an abortion.
Yes. Planned Parenthood is not spending millions, number 4, is not spending millions in net revenue it already receives. It's stockpiling money. I mean, they're well in the black. Planned Parenthood has access to the world's richest donors. That's just a fact. That's number 5. Number 6. Planned Parenthood's salary costs are exorbitant. And we're talking hundreds of thousands of dollars. What Cecile Richardson makes is obscene for a nonprofit. Planned Parenthood's client load, number 7, is declining for other reasons. So not only are they getting more and more and more taxpayer money, they're serving less and less and less people. Number 8, Planned Parenthood could keep its funding if it just would simply suspend its offensive practices. If abortion is only 3% of what they do, stop doing it and do the 90 and focus on the 97% of things.
Good luck with that.
Yeah. Anyway, I thought that was a pretty good list. I encourage you to go check out LazierInstitute.org.
It's 3% if you run the numbers in a certain way, but it's nearly 40% of their revenues.
Right. Right. I want to skip over Libya failure because there were a couple of clips I wanted to play, but I think we're going to skip over that just for time's sake. 2016 GOP nomination race. Is Trump in decline? I'm not going to predict that, but necessarily.
We've done that before.
Yeah, yeah. But it does seem like he is seeing a drop in the polls. His Real Clear Politics average, he only has a 6.4% average. Lead over Carson. And it's kind of interesting here. In nationally, 1, 2, and 3, at least with RCP average, Trump, Carson, Fiorina. You go to Iowa caucus, and 1, 2, 3, and 4, you got Trump, Carson, Cruz, Fiorina. Okay. New Hampshire, no, the top 3. Trump, Carson, Fiorina. Rarely do you see Iowa and New Hampshire that synced up. That's kind of interesting because really Cruz is only ahead of Fiorina by 1 point in the RCP average of Iowa polls. So we're not talking a huge, you could easily flip that and Iowa and New Hampshire would be identical. And I think that must be a sign of the apocalypse or something, because that's
what
just
it tells
never
you,
happens.
What it tells you is you're within the margin of error in terms of their synchronization.
Right, right. Cruz is further back in New Hampshire. He's 6th in, according, this is Real Clear Politics average. That's what I typically look at because they usually average the last 3 or 4 polls that were taken of a state or national polls or whatnot. That way you have a better snapshot of where a candidate's really, where they really stand. latest head-to-head matchup. This is interesting. First of all, if Joe Biden gets in, I think he's going to suck the air out of the room in the Democratic nomination, because he does better in head-to-head matchups than Hillary Clinton does. For instance, Biden beats Trump by 21 points. He's right now leading Trump 56% to 35%. Biden will also beat Fiorina in a head-to-head matchup, 47% to 41%. Biden will beat Jeb Bush, 48% to 40%. Biden will beat Carson, 49% to 41%. Donald Trump is probably the weakest candidate we've got in a head-to-head matchup, because Donald Trump loses to Clinton by 10. He would lose to Bernie Sanders, 52% to 36%, which that just,
remarkable.
Well, that scares me.
His negatives are off the chart.
Right.
I mean, that's the problem here. But let me just back you up here a little bit. Uncle Joe stepping into the race. I got to tell you, I'm still shocked by this. Uncle Joe comes into the race, in theory, as the most popular candidate, according to this NBC News Wall Street Journal. Let me try that again. NBC News Wall Street Journal poll. The guy, hasn't even tossed his hat in a ring yet, and he's getting this kind of poll results. And the thing that I don't understand about that is I would have thought after all these years that people would realize that Joe Biden is not a rocket scientist, okay?
No.
He's a gaffomatic.
Right.
He has struck me as a stumbler and a bumbler.
I mean, they've kind of kept him quiet the second term, I've noticed. You don't see him out there as much.
Anyway, now I do anticipate that if he does declare, once he gets in, you'll see those numbers drop. They always do.
Right, right.
People start, having to listen to this guy.
Right, reality suddenly. Trump's perception.
Anyway, it just...
Well, back to that head-to-head poll. Fiorina and Carson both beat Clinton in a head-to-head matchup. Only by 1 point, so it's not... Anyway, this basically goes to show Clinton is vulnerable. And because of this, I would suspect you're going to see this become a tighter and tighter and tighter, a Democrat nomination race, because I think they want to put somebody forward that's going to be a stronger candidate than Clinton. Mm-hmm. She's got tons of problems.
Her ship has taken on water big time.
Right, right. I want to address something too. This has been a bigger deal than I've seen on social media anyway. This article by Politico that says insiders predict Jindal and Pataki will quit next. All right, I want to read a little excerpt of this Politico article. A quarter of the Iowa Republicans say it's Jindal, a frequent visitor to their state, who is on his way out. He's become desperate, an Iowa Republican says. I love it how they never identify who does these quotes. He's taken to attacking Trump. We know how that worked out for Perry and Walker. And has nothing going on here in Iowa. Added another who, like all participants, was granted anonymity in order to speak freely. Now, let me...
Don't you like that?
You offered anonymity so you can be a weasel, basically. He's taken a hard... stand by your words. If you're going to say stuff like this, stand by your words. He's taken the hard inside right lane, and there's simply too much competition there. Cruz, Huckabee, Santorum. That's legitimate. That's legitimate. And even the Trump remark, historically, that's not gone well for Perry or for Walker. But I also think Jindal brings more to the table than Perry and Walker.
Well, look, and somebody had to say this.
Right.
Somebody had to say this. These are the glaring weaknesses of Donald Trump. Somebody needed to say it.
Somebody had to derail him somehow, some way. Anyway, the article goes on and doesn't say how many of the insiders they talked to, so they didn't necessarily talk to everybody. But I want to give you kind of a snapshot.
This is from Politico, by the way.
They do give a list of the insiders who they may have talked to. I'll read a few names here because they have a list of Republicans and Democrats. Tim Albrecht. Tim Albrecht, he's with the Jeb Bush campaign. Jeff Boink. I believe he's with the Jeb Bush campaign as well. Sam Clovis. Well, our good friend Sam is a Trump supporter. Sarah Craig, I believe Bush or Kasich. I can't remember which. Steve Dace, of course, is all in, you know, in favor of Ted Cruz. Ed Failer Jr. just signed on with the Marco Rubio campaign. Karen Fessler with Rick Santorum. David Fisher, Rand Paul fan. Doug Gross, I'm not sure who he's in favor of, but I know
it won't be Jindal.
Steve Grubbs, Rand Paul.
I'm looking at this list here, buddy.
Tim Hagel, he's a political science professor at University of Iowa, a little more moderate. I don't know who he's supporting. Bob House was with the Perry campaign. I don't know who he's behind now.
Shane, is there anybody on this list, as I look through this, is there anybody on this list that could be considered a Jindal supporter?
Not that I can see, necessarily, because they're all more of a moderate establishment, or they are behind a candidate. Tamara Scott, possibly, but she's not going to endorse anybody publicly, at least I don't believe so.
Right.
Looking at Matt Strawn, I would be shocked if he doesn't go with Bush or Kasich. Phil Valentino is Christie's Iowa guy. Eric Wilson was with Walker. It's just, okay, let's put this into perspective, folks. These insiders are attached to campaigns. This is not analysis. This is not news. It's not news. It's opinion. And we had a conversation with Jindal last week, and he, off the air, he told us,
I think it was on the air.
Okay, I think either on or off. I can't remember if we turned it off. We asked, "Hey, are you going to stick in this?" His plan is through the Iowa caucus, so he has no plans on getting out. He said, "We don't have any debt. We're running a lean organization. We're getting around the state." And if you look at the Iowa poll numbers, you know they're not fabulous, but they're better off from where Rick Santorum was this point in time in 2012. And actually, 538 says, you know, Jindal could still win. I mean, yeah, is it a long shot? Absolutely, it's a long shot. Nobody's saying this is going to be definitely what happens. But I could definitely see, I've always thought, he could end up being the dark horse candidate this time around. So,
well, yeah, and at the end of the day, if he does what he says he's going to do, which is continue to run a very lean campaign, and he doesn't have a bunch of debt that he's carrying around, he can stay in just about as long as he wants.
Right. Right, but he's the only three candidates right now with a higher net favorability average, according to 538, is Carson, Carly Fiorina, and Marco Rubio, and they're in the top five of the Real Clear Politics average. Carson and Fiorina, in particular, have seen their numbers surge recently, but in average of the Loris and Quinnipiac polls, only Carson Huckabee had a higher, had a higher favorability. It's interesting how he's... He said, Ryan lost it.
That's the cue poll.
The cue poll. Anyway.
As opposed to cue ball, right?
Yes, we're professionals here. This is Caffeinated Thoughts Radio. See ya.
Hi, this is Brian Myers. When I needed a better life insurance plan, I found it with Travis Risvold of Modern Woodmen of America. When I first met Travis, he wasn't like some other life insurance agents that can be pushy and try to get you to buy something. Travis just made himself available to me. That was it. He told me to let him know if and when I needed anything, and he stayed in touch. When the day came and I did need to make some changes with my life insurance, Travis met with me and walked me through several options so I could make an informed decision. Ultimately, it was the best decision for my situation. So if you need a better or the best life insurance plan for you, call my friend Travis Risvold with Modern Woodmen. His number is 515-883-0029. Travis Risvold with Modern Woodmen. He can help you find the life insurance you need. Call him at 515-883-0029.
Welcome to Caffeinated Thoughts Radio, a stimulating look at culture, current events, faith, and politics from a Christian and conservative point of view. We don't just talk on the radio, we blog too. Check us out at caffeinatedthoughts.com. Now grab a cup of coffee and join us. This is Caffeinated Thoughts Radio.
Hey, welcome back to Caffeinated Thoughts Radio. Caffeinated Thoughts Radio is brought to you in part by Crosswalk Ministries with Scott Owen, who offers biblical counseling and conciliation. Give him a call at 515-292-7141 or go to crosswalkcounseling.org. And we're entering our time of having a news rundown here.
Okay, first item of business is the Donald again.
Oh, yes.
He's actually developed in some detail, which is a big thing when Trump actually has detail.
Mm.
But he's developed in detail a tax plan.
Is he going to build a wall around the IRS building? No?
I build stuff. Yeah. I can build a wall.
Okay.
Okay. Presidential hopeful Donald Trump said he would lower taxes and slim the federal tax code, cutting millions of people out of any income tax liability at all, as he unveiled his plan on Monday, joining a growing list of Republicans pushing for a scaled-down, simpler system. Well, amen to that.
Right.
He said he would tax many of the breaks that many of the breaks that the wealthy and upper middle class use to avoid paying higher taxes, though he would preserve the charitable and mortgage interest deductions. The billionaire businessman said some of his wealthy pals wouldn't be happy with those trims, but he expects his top-tier tax rate of 25%, down from the current 39.5%, would leave many of them better off anyway. He also proposed cutting the corporate tax rate to 15%. "It'll simplify the tax code," he said. "It'll grow the American economy at a level it hasn't seen for decades, and all of this does not add to our debt or our deficit." Now, that's the $64 question, because it's going to depend on a number of different things. One of the things he's hoping for is that we're going to see a whole lot of money that's overseas right now repatriated,
right,
as part of this plan. And eliminating a lot of the loopholes will also develop revenues, even though the overall rates would be reduced. So, I mean, I'm in favor of something like this. Mm-hmm. Now, whether or not this is the best plan is anybody's guess. But anyway,
I want to take a look at it, you know, more in depth.
Yeah.
So. Yeah. Certainly it's better than some of the, well, he also made a comment how he supports, basically alluded to supporting universal health care. So
yes, I saw that as well. And so, who knows what that's going to look like or how much that's going to cost.
Yeah. So it's like, okay, as soon as he looks like he might be good on one topic, he says something off on another. So.
All right. Another day, another catastrophic climate model.
Mm.
A new scientific model released on Monday predicts Earth is still on track to warm 6 degrees over the next century, even with the reductions in greenhouse gas emissions pledged by countries ahead of a Paris conference. In other words, what Mr. Obama is trying to get the world to do isn't going to have much of an effect,
right,
on climate. Go figure. Hmm. So we're going to shut down the economies of the entire Western world and probably part of some of the Eastern world as well, in an attempt to do something that's not going to work. I love it. Under a business-as-usual scenario where greenhouse gas emissions are not reduced, the estimated global temperature could increase by about 8 degrees Fahrenheit by the year 2100 above, quote, pre-industrial temperatures, unquote, according to Climate Interactive, a nonprofit group based in Washington, D.C. So there you got it. We can do, you know, 6 degrees increase or 8 degrees increase. Flip your coin. But one, we destroy our economy. And the other, we don't.
Mm.
And what have we accomplished?
2 degrees.
And actually, I think this is all fluff anyway.
Yeah.
I don't think it's going to warm up that much. And B, I don't think that their calculation of a 2 degree reduction in warmth is going to happen either.
Right.
But and anyway.
Well, even if it does, who's to say it's not just part of natural,
you know, exactly,
cycle? Because we've had periods of warming and cooling in, yep, the past.
Yep.
So yeah.
And that's one of the points that a number of guys have made is, hey, look, even if this is going to happen, human beings will adjust as the climate changes. Mm-hmm. It'll actually be good for some people.
Right.
It won't be. I mean, if you're running a winter resort in an area that's going to be dramatically affected, yeah, that's going to be a problem. But other areas where your temperatures have been ridiculously cold and they are moderated, that may be a good thing.
Right.
You know, you're going to have opportunities for longer growing seasons and so on and so forth.
But those poor polar bears.
Yeah. Don't even go there. All right. Senator Cruz has been sternly rebuked by the GOP. Ted Cruz can't even get a protest vote in the Senate anymore. On Monday night, Cruz's colleagues ignored his attempt to disrupt Senate Majority Leader Mitch McConnell's efforts to fund the government without attacking Planned Parenthood. In an unusual rebuke, even fellow Republicans denied him a sufficient second that would have allowed him a roll call vote. I tell you what, buddy, I like we were talking earlier, I haven't the faintest idea why we keep electing these guys and sending them back to Washington, D.C.,
yep,
and we cannot get Planned Parenthood defunded.
Mm-hmm.
What's the point?
And this is just Mickey Mouse over games, political games over Senate decorum, because Cruz offended McConnell in the past, so we're going to just block him from, you know, doing whatever procedure to stop Planned Parenthood. At some point, you need to, and at some point, it should have been just by natural default, the issue comes before Senate decorum, period. And
you would think so,
Mitch McConnell's
you?
Not somebody that, if you claim to be a conservative Republican, that you should be lining up to defend, because he's certainly not going to be in your corner when you need him. Anyway, I'm severely disappointed in Joni Ernst and Chuck Grassley. I have to just say that. They need to be doing more than what they're currently doing to fund Planned Parenthood, period, and not stand behind Mitch McConnell when he plays games like these.
Well, look, they're all scared to death that Obama would veto the legislation, government would shut down, and then they would get blamed for it. And I'm sitting here saying, so what?
Right.
They're going to throw you under the bus no matter what you do.
And here's the thing.
How about going down trying to do something of value?
Here's the thing. Republicans, and this is why they need to have a clean bill that funds everything else in government except Planned Parenthood and make him veto that. Then, I'm sorry, it's not the Republicans who shut down government. It's President Obama who did. He's the one who's saying, no, my funding Planned Parenthood is more important than the government running. That when is this going to point it back to him? He's the one who's at fault. He's the one who's saying, you know what, I am going to stand behind my pals at Planned Parenthood. I'm going to veto this bill. The heck with the rest of the government. Even if it funds everything else I wanted, you got to put it back on him. Have a little fight.
Well,
I'm getting sick of this.
And I think you're right. I think this is going to be a little bit different, because the last time that they played chicken with him and lost, they did something like that. It was over the Affordable Care Act funding.
Right.
This is going to be a little bit different, because I think most of the American people have big questions right now about funding Planned Parenthood.
Right. And people just need to, like, what in the world makes any organization, whether it's one you agree with or not, suddenly become entitled to taxpayer money? That's just, I don't get it. So, last piece of news, Hillary not sure Bill will get a West Wing office. If Hillary ever won the presidency, the Bill Clinton, Hillary Clinton thing, that's going to be an interesting dynamic to watch, because are you going to relegate former President Clinton to the East Wing, or are you going to let him be a policy advisor and put him in the West Wing? That is a symbolic move that will say a lot about how that's going to go.
There is already a ghost of former President Clinton floating around the West Wing.
Oh, boy. Yeah, this is Caffeinate Thoughts Radio. We'll be back.
You can't believe you messed up so badly. You have asked God to forgive you, but can you forgive yourself? I'm Scott Owen with Crosswalk Ministries of Central Iowa, and it's time to pause for peace. Kicking yourself for your past sins will not give you the peace you want. The more you dwell on it, the more hopeless your situation will seem. God says that if you confess your sins, He is faithful and just to forgive you and to cleanse you. Having a clean slate should fill a heart with joy. But why do some people hang on to their guilt? Some reasons are a personal lack of victory over sin, pride, bitterness, as well as ignorance of God's teaching on forgiveness. Learning what allows guilt to hang around is critical to applying God's solution for internal peace and joy. We would love to help you experience that. Please call Crosswalk Ministries at 515-635-5465 or online at crosswalkcounseling.org.
Hey, Des Moines, have you heard? Everything you need for personal protection and self-defense is now here. Whether it's the next piece of gear, training, or a day at the range, it's all available at Iowa's premier indoor shooting range, Crossroads Shooting Sports. The indoor climate control range features 17 lanes up to 25 yards in distance. The Pro Shop has gear for men and women and training classes for basic and advanced skill levels. For self-defense and personal protection for your home and family, go to crossroadsshooting.com. That's crossroadsshooting.com. crossroadsshooting.com.
Yeah, and if you haven't already heard, we are having another conference this year. Our second annual Caffeinated Thoughts briefing will be coming up next month.
Yeah, October 31st.
I guess it's
at the Ramada Inn.
When this is aired, it'll be this month.
Yes.
October 31st. So we're looking forward to that.
Yes, so we have Governor Jindal's going to be there, Rafael Cruz is going to be there, Mike Ferris is going to be there, and others. So looking forward to that. Go to ctbriefing2015.com and get registered.
Say that again.
That's ctbriefing2015.com. And by the way, if you are here's a special promo code for our Truth 99.3 FM listeners. Enter the promo code TRUTH. And get a 50% discount.
Ooh.
Can't beat that.
CTBriefing2015.com. I like that.
That's a good deal.
Yes, it is.
And now, we've come to my favorite part of the show. We are about to share a story that is truly unbelievable. Yet. You know it must be true because...
You can't make this stuff up.
Okay, this story is from Centerline, Michigan. Wherever that is.
It's in Michigan.
Well, thank you, Ron. September 28th. From UPI. Security cameras were rolling at a Michigan gas station when a man attempted to kill a spider with his cigarette lighter. And he accidentally set fire to a gas pump.
Oh, man.
This kind of reminds me of what I wanted to bring up during banter time. So if we have enough time, I'll bring it up.
Okay. The CCTV footage from the mobile station in Centerline shows a man putting gas in his car last week before pulling a lighter from his pocket and creating a flame near his vehicle that quickly ignited the gas pump. Susan Adams, a clerk at the station, said the man had been attempting to use the lighter to kill a spider he spotted on the car. Adams said she hit the automatic stop button and summoned the Centerline Fire Department. She said the man put the flames out with the station's fire extinguisher, but the pump was destroyed. Adams said the man initially claimed the fire was started by static, but he later admitted the truth. I didn't find out until later that he seen a spider and tried to burn it, Adams told WWJ-TV, which the spider did get burned, but nothing happened to his car. The mobile station's insurance company is expected to pay the cost of repairs. The clerk said the man returned to the station the following day to apologize to her. He was sorry, Adams said. He was sorry. He said he didn't know. It's just one of those things that happened. Stupidity.
Amen to that, too. It's like people, capital when S. they see spider, it's like suddenly all rational thought flies out the window. Okay, I get called out of my house. My wife and daughter right outside and said, "Hey, Jane, come out with the hairspray." So I run out with my daughter's hairspray. Spray. What?
Hairspray.
There's a huge tree spider dangling out, with a web. So, nailing with hairspray.
Well, maybe it was going to get ready for the evening and needed a little, a touch up of the hair.
A permanent.
Yeah. So, anyway, so I'm like, I can just imagine,
like, nail it. With this hairspray. I was tempted to get a lighter and go.
Slacking real good there.
Yeah.
But send your You Can't Make This Stuff Up ideas to story at caffeinatedthoughts.com. That's story at caffeinatedthoughts.com. We'll give you the credit or the blame if we use your suggestion.
And pray that God would keep us safe from the giant tree spiders outside our house.
The ones you're trying to give a permanent to.
Right, right.
What was it Ron said? A permanent?
Permanent.
Yes, that's it.
That's almost as good as
shellacking.
Quinnipiac. Piacanac or what
Quinnipiac.
What was it he said?
I don't know. I pronounce it differently each time. Quinnipie. That sounds kind of delicious.
Cutie pie.
This is Caffeinate Thoughts Radio. We'll see you next week.
Take care, everybody.
Des Moines, have you heard? Everything you need for personal protection and self-defense is now here. Crossroads Shooting Sports. Whether it's the next piece of gear, training, or a day at the range, it's all available at Iowa's premier indoor shooting range. The indoor climate control range features 17 lanes up to 25 yards in distance. The pro shop has gear for men and women and training classes for basic and advanced skill levels. Go to crossroadsshooting.com for self-defense and personal protection for your home and family. That's crossroadsshooting.com.